I love how he sets my heart on fire. This is interesting. I never want to lead a meeting that he has to invade. Isn't that interesting? I never want to lead a meeting that he has to invade. Because I always want to open the door, roll out the red carpet, and invite him in. Isn't that awesome? Who's enjoying? This is hot. I mean, this is, I'm holding, I'm nearly falling apart inside here. This is just amazing. I want to walk in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I want him to guide me into all truth. I want to see him move in power to save souls, heal bodies, reconcile families, set the whole church on fire, and turn cities upside down. This is my mate. I'd love him to come here. I keep saying, when are you coming to England? When are you coming to England? He's such a busy guy, he has to sort of zoom for 2 days, he's off somewhere else. I'll get him here one day. Get him here one day. Habakkuk 3 verse 2, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Come on, Holy Spirit. Isn't that a great quote? Oh, that was a good way to start the sermon, wasn't it? I didn't realize he had that little bit in about fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Because that's who I want to talk about this morning, of course. Again, and you knew that because I started a couple of weeks. Was it 2 weeks ago? I was twiddling my thumbs, wondering what on earth I was going to say up the front here, and because we ran out of time. Remember I introduced that scripture, end of chapter 13, 2 Corinthians verse 13, chapter 13, verse 14, I think it is. May the grace of our...
God.
No, sorry, you're right. May the love of
God
and the grace of our
Lord
Jesus Christ. You don't know your scripture. You're not. How many ex-Anglicans here? Oh, I'm the only one. Well, bless God. I'm probably the only one who knows this off by heart because Anglicans just about say this at every end of every service. May the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. What a great thing. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the whole... There's a few of us went down to Southampton a couple of weeks ago. No, was it just last weekend? It was last weekend, wasn't it? It's only just last weekend. All right, it was last Friday and Saturday went down for the prophetic conference, which was good. Like I said to you last week, it was kind of not altogether what I expected, but it was still very good. And but our experience was interesting. Not the conference was great, but outside the conference, you know, for Sabina and myself, we've only been to Southampton a couple of times before this, and basically you drive in, try and find a park, go to St. Mary's Centre, and then come home, and that's it. And the other times when we've stayed overnight, it's drive to the hotel, and you go to the hotel. Well, we went down there, and you have to find yourself a car park. And that is a pain in the neck, because you don't know where anything is to park, you don't know where to park. So we had to stumble around doing that. We then needed some petrol for the car, did not have a clue, didn't see one petrol station as we drove in, didn't see anywhere. So we didn't have where's the petrol station? So we asked the people at the counter, oh, there's one down that way. We got to go that way. And the needle was sort of way down almost on empty. And so we thought, oh, should we Sabina's got the little, you know, iPhone thingy and sort of looked it up on the, it's over there. So we drive off. And we happened to pass one on our way up to where the meeting is. And, good. So we turn around and go back. You drive in to the car park and every little thing has it. This pump is out of order. Who's had that happen to them? Wave at me. I said, this doesn't happen. Everyone has. This is what they do in this country. Excuse me. Sorry. This is just one of the other things I'm not used to. You drive all the way in and there's no petrol available. And I get that annoys me. You see, I'm very redeemed. You can tell how consecrated I am. You've dragged me in here to get petrol and you haven't got any. You know, I find that annoying. There's nothing. Whereas in New Zealand, you see, we're probably stupid in New Zealand. We put this big sign up, no petrol here. So you don't have to, you just drive past. They're being nice there. But here you've got to drive in. Oh, there's no petrol. Think nasty thoughts. Anyway, that's just me. Different culture, different way of doing things. That's a sidetrack anyway. So that didn't work. So no petrol, had to get to the meeting. Then we're trying to find, I think we were trying to find some other place to go and have some lunch and didn't know where to go, walked through the park, it was pouring with rain, that was fine, sort of. The people we were with, absolutely wonderful people to be with, we shared the rain in our sandwiches. And just trying to find our way around Southampton was just an absolute headache, and trying to find where things are, what there is, all that kind of thing. And you know, the thing that, what did we need? Who could tell me what we actually needed? An iPad, no. I had one. It was no help. Maps are okay to a point. You know, those sort of things are only okay to a point. You've got to know. You go down a one way and you think, I'm going the wrong way. All that kind of stuff. What do we need? No, we don't need that. No, we need what? We needed a guide. We actually needed someone who lived there to walk with us everywhere we went. So we want to get to such and such. I know the best way to get there and takes you there. I know the best deals to get. No, don't go there. Go to this shop. This is the best place. You want to park? I know where there's a good place to park. Come with me. I'll show you. You see, tourist information just goes, and you're still left to follow that. Where is this place? Mind you, we did find a good car park, actually. We'll go there again. Third time, finally found one. We needed a guide. We needed someone every moment of the day with us. Where do you want to go? I want to go here. Can you? Okay. And you just leave it to the guide to take you to that place and drop you off. That's how you learn. We think it's the best way, the best way. When we used to go to the islands as a team into the Pacific Islands, most of the time we had a guide. When you don't have one, it's a headache, absolute headache. One, because you don't know the culture. People think differently in different places. You English people think differently to us Kiwis. And I go sometimes and I'm thinking, what is going on? I'm getting used to it. I am getting used to it. I'm becoming more English. Is that a good thing? It's probably a good thing. I don't know. But I'm getting used to it. This is not, it's not better, worse, it's just different. But if you don't know, you put your foot in it. You know, you just make mistakes all the time. So we had a guy, we had a great guide in Fiji when we were there once. He just went everywhere. He worked with the organization that we worked with. He literally took us everywhere, showed us the right shops to go and buy. You know, in these developing countries, they have their markets. You know, and they go in there and they say, I give you a good, cheap, I give you a good price, You know, and they say, what's your price? And they say something like this. And they say, oh, yeah, fine. And you find out, say, oh, man, you should have talked it down. I got that for you. And get some person got it for a third of the price. And you go, what? Anyway, this guy would go before us and he would say, you know, he would go and talk to them. He said, go and talk to this guy. He will genuinely give you a decent price. So you know, you have a guide with you, someone who knows the way, knows the system, understands everything that's happening. You can tell where this is going, don't you? When we get saved, we are delivered out of one domain. 1 Corinthians, Colossians 1, chapter 13 says he has transferred us. Transferred. We get to transfer us out. Who's had a transfer in business? You know, we're moving you from one department to another, or from one country to another. We get a transfer out of the kingdom of darkness, where we've lived, and we know it, and probably quite successful at it, out of the kingdom of darkness, and placed us in the kingdom of his son. And folks, when we're saved, that's only the beginning. Because there is a huge kingdom to come to grips with. There's a huge kingdom to know. There is an infinite kingdom that is without end that we don't even begin to understand. We seriously need a guide. Do you know the best guide to have is the one who made it? Do you know who we get as a guide? The one who made it. Holy Spirit. But he calls us to a very special thing. He calls us to fellowship. I don't know how many of you have, you know, if you understand fellowship of the Holy Spirit, then you can have a sleep in this message. But I have stumbled across this in a way I never really understood or realized before. I think I shared with you just recently, that little word fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about fellowship. When soldiers go to fight in a war, I don't know, and unfortunately these are probably, well, I was going to say there's probably male illustrations, but anyway, the team thing. Or if a team gets together and goes to a tournament, the team comes together and they encourage each other. If you're in a team, you've ever been in a sports team where everyone's at each other's back and there's no encouragement and people are whinging and complaining, it's the pits. And that team does not succeed very well. But where you've got a team and a coach and everyone, and they're encouraging, come on, that was good. Now you muck up, all right, come on, get on, we can do this. All that sort of thing. That is fellowship. That is joining together. The other word that's used in that particular passage, and you'll see in different translations, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is also the communion of the Holy Spirit. They're the only two words. I've looked at lots of translations. You're thinking, boy, Ian reads lots of Bibles. Well, actually, no, there's a good thing on the internet. You can enter in a scripture and just go, you get all these translations from different Bibles. You can just go all the way down. I did that. And there's only two words that are used in there for translating that word, fellowship and communion. Common union. Having something in common, being joined together for a common purpose and a common goal. That's what the Spirit of God wants to have with us. Fellowship with us. My boss in church, I used to say, fellows on a ship. You know, you get on a ship and you're part of the crew, you're taking that ship, going somewhere. There's a goal, there's a destination, and you're fellows on that ship. Imagine a warship. You back each other up, you watch each other, you encourage one another. You're there, there's a task. Some of you may get rough, you may get discouraged. People around to keep going. It's all right, keep focused on the goal. They lift you up, encourage you. People, especially men in war who join, some of my dad's best friends were guys that he met in the war. And so, of course, they disbanded different things. But the fellowship, the closeness, the friendships that were formed under that crucible of fire was very, very close. They watched each other's backs. They encouraged each other when things were hell. But there was a common purpose to defeat an enemy and probably just to stay alive. That's fellowship. That's communion. That's common union. Spirit of God, do you realize this is what the Spirit of God wants to have with us? Wants to have this with us. And when you realize one simple thing, and myself, and this is what blows me away. When we realize that the Spirit of God wants to be our closest companion, it changes everything. Changes everything. He wants to be our companion 24/7. He wants to be the air we breathe all the time. Now, one of the difficulties I have found often, and I'm got saved in a charismatic church. I got saved in a Holy Spirit church. You know, Spirit of God did healings, miracles. I believed all that stuff before I got saved. I just knew if God was there, miracles were going to happen. That's what I figured. Went looking for it. And of course, they talked about the Holy Spirit and all those things, and him and miracles and all that kind of stuff. But it was almost like they talked about him in a way that when you need this, Holy Spirit will come to you. When you da-da-da-da-da. And Florence wasn't meaning this in her message. But if we're not careful, all those beautiful pictures that she showed of the Holy Spirit will be, he does that when. He comes like us when. He comes like this when. There is no when. It is now. The Holy Spirit wants to walk with us now, every second of the day. Now, 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 now. He wants fellowship now with us. I think that's exciting. I think that to me is mind-blowing. He is the one who is spoken of in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters of the deep. It was his power that created you and me. He's actually in the second to last, or the last verse of the Bible. And listen to how it's coupled. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say it together. He's with the bride. The Spirit of God is with the bride together. And we're together saying, come, Lord Jesus. oh, that sends goosebumps down my spine. Yeah, it probably doesn't, don't know if it does for anyone else, but that excites me. That's fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I think that's amazing. When we truly, truly get that in our spirit and our heart, He wants to be the closest. Actually, I'm not sure whether the Holy Spirit's a He or what. Because the problem is, in the context always determines meaning. You know, when you look at reading the scripture, context determines the meaning of the word. Even though it might mean something else in another part of the Bible, you can't necessarily transfer that meaning and say, oh, well, that means that. No, it doesn't fit the context. Does it fit there? Does it mean that? Meaning determines context. I don't know why I said that. I said that. The personal pronoun in the Greek is actually non-gender. We don't have that in the English language. It's either he or she, hers or his. We don't have a sort of a non-gender personal pronoun. We don't have that. The Greek does. But the context determines. We know Father was going to be a he. Son, probably a he. Holy Spirit, not sure. Isn't that fun? So don't know. Doesn't matter. He's a person. We know he's a person. We know the Spirit of God is a person. You can't read the book of Acts and think the Holy Spirit's just some mindless force. That's just ridiculous. Told the prophets, separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the job I have for them, or the purpose that I have for them. Oh, you spoke to Ananias and Sapphira, those poor unfortunate people that lost their lives when they lied. He said, why did you take it in your heart to lie to God? To lie to God of this? It's not people that you have lied to. It is the Holy Spirit. God, Holy Spirit. Person. Living being. Anyway, that was just an aside, probably a bit of pointless information there about who and who he is. Holy Spirit. When we understand our closest companion, changes everything. Changes everything. Matthew 7, verse 9 and 11 says, you don't need to turn to it, it's a very familiar passage. But Jesus says, what father of yours, if a son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or a son asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? How much more then will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? You remember that passage? Yes. You all Bible scholars know that passage? Everyone's looking at me a bit blankly. No, don't know that passage again. Matthew 7, 9 to 11. Luke 11 is the parallel passage. It's the same teaching that the Lord's giving, where Luke records a different chapter. It says almost the same. What father of yours, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent, or asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Now watch this. How much more then will the Father give the Holy Spirit to whoever asks? What does that tell you about the Holy Spirit? It tells you this. He is the most precious gift in the universe. To spurn and not receive the Spirit of God is to say, I don't want the most precious thing in the universe. That's what it means. One hand, Father, give good things. On the other, give the Holy Spirit. Why would he say that? Because the Holy Spirit is not just a good thing. He is the best thing. Not that he's a thing, he's a person. We'll give the best. He is the best. He's the greatest gift. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 somewhere, I think, 2 or 3. We have this treasure in clay vessels. What is that treasure? The kingdom of God. How does the kingdom of God come to us? Through the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Everything wrapped up in the Holy Spirit. Fellowship. And this one calls us, desires, wants. You can say, why do I need to do that? Because that's what he wants. He wants to be. Jesus said he is our helper, our comforter. The word, you all, who knows what the word means? Wave if you know what the Greek word is for that word where it says helper, comforter. Parakletos. Alongside, the other thing, I don't know what it is. What it means is someone who comes alongside, like a guide, a companion who comes and walks with you through everything, who's there in everything, who's with you in everything, who takes you through everything. Because there's a common union, there's a fellowship, there's a goal that we're heading towards. And he is there, the God who created the universe. Just, it's ludicrous. My best mate is the God of the universe. Who's yours? Yeah, my mate. Yeah, my mate. He's my best mate. It's true. You know, the funny thing is that and this only dawned on me recently when Florence talked about reading, you know, Come Holy Spirit. And Benny Hinn says every morning, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." I said, "I'm going to do that." Because I sort of say, "Good morning, God," and da da da. Sort of, but when he says, "I say every morning, come, good morning, Holy Spirit." You say, I thought, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to start doing that." Do you know I have? And I've hardly missed a day. Do you know it's made a difference? Because I realized that I was missing fellowship with him. It was reading his book that made me realize I've read past that scripture, I've known that scripture all my life, and I've missed the meaning of it. See, we're all familiar with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we live for. We know that. For us as Christians, it's the grace of Jesus that saves us. We're saved by grace through faith in his death and resurrection on the cross. That's central to who we are as Christians. We know that. We know the love of the Father. But with Holy Spirit, yeah, fine, done, yeah, whatever. But he wants fellowship with us because he wants to walk the common goal. And what is that common goal? The common goal is to have Jesus Christ formed in us so that Jesus expresses himself through us with every characteristic that he has made us, that you and I become the expression of Jesus to the world, that we are made Christ-like. That's our purpose. You can read that in Ephesians chapter 2. For we have been predestined to become like the image of his son. That's what he wants to make us. He wants to make us in the image of his son. Isn't that amazing? He wants to. And who is the son? The son is the image of the invisible God. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Christ. And God wants to make us like that. Holy Spirit wants to make us like that. I tell you, I got a long, 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 long way to go. I hope it continues in heaven because I don't think I'm going to make it before I die. But I think it will. Because you know what he said? Jesus says, John 14, verse 16, the Holy Spirit, who is our gift, the most precious gift, will be with us forever. Forever. Once it starts, never stop. Once it starts, never stop. Never stops. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I invite you to just do that. When you wait, first chance to get. Sometimes I'm sort of, you know, and I need a cup of tea to wake up. You know, get and it can be about half an hour, an hour before I say, "Oh, yeah, good morning, Holy Spirit." But when I do, that makes a difference. Seriously, it makes a difference. And this is just what happens for me. It may be different for you. But I get up I will stop what I'm doing and I'll consciously focus my mind on the Spirit of God and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." You know what? My hands come up and I say, "I love you, Holy Spirit. I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your love. I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, Spirit of God." And everything changes. I immediately know his presence. Something shifts in my heart. I immediately know his presence there. I'm walking with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because that's what his task is. That's what he does. But he's just as much God as the other two. Now, I don't understand the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. I read it sometimes. I think, never mind. Don't worry about it. Don't try and get your brain around it. You can't, honestly. I mean, if we could, he would be a God in it. He would be a God who is too small for our needs. If we can fit God into the box of our brains, he's not big enough for our difficulties. He's not big enough for what we want. But that's how it happens for me. And I tell you, the longer I leave it to do that, the tougher it gets. I go away and I have to go away. I have to stop and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." And it just flows from there. And it starts from there. Anyway, let's move on to another picture. Get rid of that one. Done that page. What have I got here written? Come and you have done that one. It wants to be a closer. Done that page. Isn't this good? I've done all these pages. All right. His goal to become unique expressions of the likeness of the Son of God in and through us. We are not clones, but we are gazillions of lives joined as one living organism that is the kingdom of God. You know, we're not clones. When I used to hear we're going to be made in the likeness of the Son of God, I think we're just going to be all the same. You know, we're going to be like Jesus. I think, okay, great to be like Jesus. Does that mean we're going to be, I ain't like Jesus, little Jesus is walking around, and we're going to look exactly like something? I don't know. Isn't it funny how these thoughts get, you probably don't have this in my brain, and my brain works. But it's not that he wants the nature and the character of people, he wants to reveal Jesus through us, but according to how he has made us. There's only one of us in the whole universe. Only one. And he's made us for that purpose, that he can live in and express himself, express the nature, character, and heart of God revealed in Jesus Christ, the fullness of God dwelt in bodily form through us according to each of our unique ways that we do things. I mean, you can just tell from the people, the different people come up and preach. We're all different. Worship leaders, we're all different. You're all different. Look around us. We're all different. But the Holy Spirit wants to make us like Jesus, expressed through who we are. That's important. That's important because we don't come to the Lord and say, oh, Lord, oh, just none of me and all of you. No, God wants all of us. He wants all of him through all of us. So what do I want? None of you. I want you. You're the only one I've got. I don't want none of you. I want everything of you. See the difference? Important difference. Because we can say, and I think that if we do this kind of, oh, none of me, we end up this, I'm just a lowly little worm. I'm a no good, you know. That's where we can end up. Can end up. Not saying we do. He wants all of us surrendered so that all of him can flow through us. All right. Let's move on from that one. Judges 6. Verse 34, don't worry about it. Says this. So this is about Gideon. Gideon was one of my favorite guys in the Bible. I relate really well to him. Gideon, as you know, was called by God to deliver the Jewish people from the Midianites who invaded their country. And Gideon, the lovely thing about Gideon was he didn't really have a very good, not a lovely thing, but you know, the angel turned and said, "Greetings, mighty warrior." He said, you're talking to me? Excuse me? You got the wrong guy, you know. I'm from the least tribe of the least family. I'm the youngest and I'm this. I'm a nobody. You got the wrong person. The Lord said, "Greetings, mighty warrior." See, God sees us differently to how we think we see ourselves. He sees us differently to the way your friends see you and I. He sees us differently to what goes on in our brain and what we think about ourselves and also what we think God sees us. Just quickly aside, one of the things that Bill Johnson often says is he says, I cannot afford to have any thoughts in my mind about myself that are not God's. I can't afford that. Neither can we. Because the thoughts we have about ourselves that are not God, usually are negative, usually are depressing, usually are life-sucking, not life-giving. God never has negative thoughts about us. He will never change his mind about us. He loved us before he made us. He loves us now. He will never change that. He cannot change that because that's who he is. His love for us is eternal, everlasting. If you have negative thoughts about yourself, God hasn't put them there. And you and I cannot afford to have those thoughts in our mind. It kills us. It steals the life of God in us. And the Holy Spirit has to work against us, wants to work against us to reveal who we are. That's just an aside. I think it was a good aside. It blessed me anyway. I probably said that hundreds of times. All right. Judges. Yeah, that was about Gideon. Came from Gideon, didn't it? Where old Gideon had this thing. But greetings, mighty warrior. Do you know he did turn into one? He became one. Anyway, further down the track, after Gideon's done his first little test of obedience, and we do get tests of obedience, but it's a separate message, sort of chuck that in there. And dear old Gideon had to destroy this totem pole in the middle of his father's village. And in the middle of the village, wasn't, I don't think the village was his father's, but it was his father's totem pole. So he had to destroy it. So he sneaks along at night and rips it down, so it's hoping no one sees him. Next day, oh yeah, it was Gideon that did it. Yeah, you can imagine. What? Someone found out. Yeah, at least he did it. You know, he was terrified. God told him, go and destroy it. God didn't tell him when to do it. So he snuck out in the middle of the night. You know, I don't know what was happening, but he sure he didn't want to draw attention to himself. He was probably hiding the next morning. But they found out, and of course his dad turns up. Uh-oh, I'm in deep doo-doos now. It's all over. Now, the cool thing is, Dad says, if Gideon felt to do that, then we will go with the God of... I can't remember the exact words. But his father stood by his son and said no. He felt, you know, God said, told him to do it. This is what we'll do. And so it was immediately after that, then the Lord, he got his commission. And it says this in verse 33, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. In other words, their area got invaded by these other people. That's what happened. And then it says this verse, so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet, etc., etc. Now, this is an interesting passage because the scripture uses a word that's only used once, I think, in the whole of the Old Testament. Probably not in the New Testament, because New Testament's Greek, not Hebrew. And the literal translation is to put on a garment. To put on a garment. Same kind of concept like in the New Testament, we're told to put on Christ. And it says, so literally it means this. So the Spirit of the Lord put Gideon on. That's what it means. That's the literal translation. Because they don't translate it that way because, you know, that doesn't fit my understanding. You know, this is what happens with biblical translators. They make it, well, people don't understand it. What's it, you know, says in all these other things, this thing, so it must mean that. But the literal translation, he put Gideon on like a cloak. I didn't bring my glove. Remember a few years ago I showed you that glove illustration? I meant to bring it this morning and I forgot. Imagine I've got a glove on. Has anyone got a glove on them? No, because it's not a cold enough day. All right, I've got a glove on. Sorry, my visual aid is not here. But imagine that I have put a glove on. That's how Gideon wants, like a glove. And the Lord put him on. And the glove yields to what the hand wants to do. If it's a decent glove, it will yield. It will do the purpose. I have a little glove when I go and watch my son Jonathan skate that has little sensitive things that I can put the iPad, because he likes to film it. He's racing around, I'm doing this, and I have to be able to, but my hands are freezing. And I have to have tips on my glove that the iPad can touch, specifically designed for a specific purpose. And so I wear that glove for that purpose. And the Spirit of the Lord put Gideon on. He wears him like a glove. And the glove yields. A glove yields to the hand that's in it, doesn't it? If a glove's going to do its job properly, it yields and it moves. As the hand opens, the glove opens. The hand closes, the glove closes. It yields to it, does what the hand wants it to do. It's the same picture. For me, that's the picture of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Difference is, vital difference, is that we are not inanimate objects like a glove. We are living, breathing beings whom the life of God has been placed in. He wants to put us on like a glove, but he wants it to be a fellowship. He wants it to be a joint thing. When he moves, he wants to say, let's go, so that we are yielded to him, surrendered to him, freely of our own will, because we trust him and we love him and we yield to him and he does what he does through us, like a hand in a glove. And it is constant. Once the glove's on, it's on. That's close fellowship. Put your hand in a glove, you can't, you know, the glove, you put the other clothes over the top. That's how close the relationship is. That's how the relationship, how he wants it to be. That close. our constant companion, walking in yieldedness to him. He wearing us like a glove. But that's as far as that illustration goes. It's a close partnership. He's the senior partner, sort of. We're the junior partner, but it's a partnership. But it's a partnership, he says, all right, Ian, we're going to do this. I want you to do that, okay? And you watch what we do. And the cool thing is it's a lot of fun because he's the one, he's the senior partner. Not us. It's not all about us. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about Jesus. He wants to reveal Jesus through us. That's the goal. And so it takes the stress and the striving out of it. We don't have to strive and struggle to earn and to be da-da-da-da-da. He's in us to enable us, to equip us, to help us to be all that he made us to be. So what Jesus said, he comes as the helper. That's why there's all these different translations for paraclete. Helper, comforter. We need help when the going gets tough, when we don't know what to do. Romans 8 says it near the end of it. He says he comes, and when we do not know what to pray, the Holy Spirit prays through us in groanings that we don't understand. You know, when something's too big or when we're praying for something, how do we pray for this, Lord? And he prays through us. He's there to help us and help us. The goal is to become Christ-like, to have Jesus formed in us. When we're moving towards that goal, he's there to help us. When we stumble and fall, he's there to pick us up. When we get things wrong, he's there to fix up the bits. There's just one thing he won't help us with, and that's our selfishness. He won't bless our selfishness. He won't bless our waywardness. He won't bless our sin. But he is there to pick up the pieces. Please remember that. If we stuff up, get it wrong, listen, God is not threatened by our sin. Just, oh, sin, oh, back, get away from me. He's not scared of our sin. He's not threatened by it. But we act like he is. He says, why did you do that? Sometimes you get angry if we do really, really stupid things. Like David. Remember King David? David and that wonderful naughtiness that he did. Adultery with another man's wife. I think that got the Lord sad. I think, David, oh, for goodness sake, why did you do that? And then I think when he had that husband killed, I'm not sure the Lord was sad. I think he was angry at that sin. Because remember the prophet, Nathan came to him. You did da-da-da-da-da. But David took it and went to the Lord, and immediately the Lord was there. It's all right, David, we'll pick up the pieces. We will pick up the pieces and we will go on. Still in the New Testament, David is recorded as the one who has a man after God's own heart. What? An adulterer and a murderer? He's there to pick up the pieces. God is not threatened by our sin. He loves us. He never stopped loving us. That doesn't mean to say he gives us permission to do it. It grieves him. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. When we do these things, it grieves him. But he doesn't depart from us. He will distance from, he will not let us give his blessing upon those things. We must understand this. Because we think, you know, the grace of God just lets me do anything I want to do. Well, yes, it does sort of, but you're not going to have, no, it doesn't. Actually, if you use the word grace and interpret that as the power and, what is it, Corey? It's the power and, can't remember. It's the power and ability or the strength and all that we need to do what we've been asked to do. So that we're not doing it in our own strength. That's grace brings all that we need to do what we need to do. That's what grace brings. And so if we do something that we don't need to do, then that power is withdrawn because God won't bless it. He hasn't withdrawn, but the tangible power and blessing on that thing will lift, or on our lives, will lift off that particular activity because God doesn't bless it. So grace does not give us license to do anything we want. It's the freedom. But the Lord will let us choose that. He doesn't make us robots. If we want to choose that, then that's fine. But he will let us suffer the consequences, but be there to pick up the pieces. Understand? It's important that we grasp that. He will be there to pick up the pieces. He will be there. He never leave us or forsake us. Never. That's what he's promised. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you, says the Lord, just as blessing. Anyway, raved on long enough about that one. So he puts us on like a garment and wears us in that close intimacy every single day. You with me so far? Does this sound good to people? Sorry, I finished on a bit of a negative at that point. How do we do this? That's the trick. All right, then, fine. Holy Spirit wants fellowship with us? Fine, great. How? So what? Well, not the so what. The so what is because he wants to have fellowship with us. How? I can only tell you how it works for me. We love to hear stories of what people do themselves, but how it works for me is how I said before. And this is the thing to listen to. When you begin this, it takes a deliberate step in our hearts towards him. That's the first thing. Acknowledge, yes, he is my constant companion. He wants to be my constant companion. The God of the universe is my constant companion. Every second of the day, every breath that I take is from him, if you like. So I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Gets me going. He's my friend. He wants to be my friend. My friend. Hey, my buddy's the God of the universe. He created the whole universe. What does your friend do? He's a friend. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And do you know, if you focus on the Holy Spirit, you do not stay there because he focuses our attention on the Lord. Did I say he is not an add-on? I think I went to say that note. We have to be careful that the Holy Spirit is not... Yeah, I mentioned that. It's all right. He wants to be with us. So that's my way of doing it. And I find very quickly and easily I can begin talking to him. This is the important thing. You have to make time to do this. Friendships take time to cultivate. It is the same with the Spirit of God. He is there all the time, but he wants friendship with us. He wants interaction with us all the time. He wants us to know him near, tangibly, I believe, really tangibly. Someone once said that the Spirit of God works through many, but rests on few. The ones he rests on are the ones who walk with him every second of the day, because there's a home for him to dwell. There's a home for him to live. He's looking for places to live. You know, that sounds strange. And the God of you looking for somewhere to live? Yes, that's what he made us for. We are the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. We are the house of God. We are where he wants to live in us and fellowship with us. Imagine having a guest in the house and you never talk to them the rest of the day. You might as well not have them there. That's who he is. That's how it starts for me. When that happens for me, when that starts, I find that during the day, when I'm going around my business, suddenly tongues, I'll start praying in tongues. And I'm not about anything. Now, I have a choice at that point. I can say, oh, that was nice, and forget it, walk on. Or I can say, I'm praying in tongues. And I can stop. And I can stop. Because where does tongues come from? It's a gift of the Spirit of God. He's communicating in me and through me. So I stop, and I let the tongues go, and I pray for a moment. I might just hide away, sort of go and find a bit of space for myself, and I just stand and just pray in tongues. Might be for a minute, might be 30 seconds, this might be 5 minutes. Sometimes, very rarely, it's gone for a long time. But I stop and I just pray in tongues. Daddy, do you know me? Oh, sorry, I've got to go. You know what I mean? But when he prays in tongues, I stop. This used to happen to me in the pharmacy. Trust me, it didn't happen while I was doing my prescriptions. The Lord knows that's what I was there for. I was there, and I would say, Spirit of God, help me be focused so I don't make a mistake and kill someone. So he let me, but I would, because I asked for his help, he helped me in that. But sometimes I'm just cleaning up, putting stuff away, tongues will come. So I got a choice. Do I go with this or what? And I began to be able to pray in tongues while I'm doing what I'm doing, because it didn't require 100% of my attention, only 95. The other 5, I could pray in tongues with him. That's one of the ways it works. Here's another way it works for me. I will be driving, I'll be doing something, and a song of praise will come to my mind. I have a choice at that point. Do I continue to sing the song? Do I continue to make melody in my heart and sing to the Lord, or do I not? See, when those songs come to mind, that's an invitation from the Holy Spirit, come and have fellowship with me. Because as we worship and we pray in tongues, our sensitivity to the Spirit increases. And he may want to speak to us at the end of that song. He may want to speak to us at the end of that praying in tongues. That's how fellowship with him works for me. And very often I can stop and think, Lord, what are you saying? Or I just start going into a prayer. Suddenly a prayer will come to a concern, a need, and I'll start praying it. That's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Listen, when you start doing that, the surprising thing is that it happens more and more. The more you do it, the more it happens. The more you seek him, the more you have fellowship with him. The more you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the more we live above our sins, our difficulties, our weaknesses, our stumblings. The more we live above those things, the more we live in the victory that Jesus won for us. The more we have fellowship, the more victory. Less fellowship, less victory. That's how it works. It's exactly how it works. You see, what we focus on, what we feed our spirit, is what will come out. And the Spirit of God is always calling us to fellowship, calling us. Listen for those little hints. That's how it works for me. Maybe he says something works different to you. It'd be interesting to hear your stories and to share them, because it may well be different for other people. I know that's what it works for me. So learn to live in that, in the heart of praise. Learn to live in the heart of thanksgiving. Learn to live in the spirit of love and joy of the kingdom. And learn to begin to listen to his promptings in your heart. It will change your life as you respond. Trust me, it will. Will not, Florence? It will change your life. And he will make himself known. He will make himself known. All right. Nearly finished the foundation. You've done it. Doing well often. How much time have we got? No, maybe we'll leave that. Go through this real quick. Learn to that you have just a couple of quick enemies. Probably should have done that first before and just I'll go back to it. Enemies. One of the key things, the parable of the soils is a good. Remember, Jesus talked about the parable of the sower and the four different soils. Soil number three, parable of the soil, worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and wealth, the desire for other things, the pleasures of this world. They are enemies to your spiritual walk. If you put those above the Lord, they are enemies to your spiritual walk. Also, believing the wrong thing about God and believing the wrong thing about yourself as far as God sees you is an enemy to your spiritual walk. All of those things are. Busyness. If you say yes to the Spirit of God, in fact, if you say yes to something, you have to say no to something else. Because there just ain't enough time in the day to do everything. Who would be the most important person to say yes to? I would suspect the Spirit of God. If we're not doing that, we haven't truly grasped yet the fullness of what he wants to do. See, not only does he want us to make us like Jesus, he wants us to also experience and live in the fullness that of everything that Jesus won for us on the cross. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." What's finished? The fullness of heaven is open to all who will come. And the Spirit of God wants to take us into that so we will experience the freedom, the joy, the life, the fullness of the kingdom. That's what he wants for us, as well as making us in the image of Christ. That's what he wants. Self-pity, unworthiness. Self-pity is a real killer. Oh, poor me. Oh, my husband. Oh, my renter. Oh, that stupid neighbor. Oh, look at that dumb car in front of me. Oh, it's no good. That's probably anger, actually. But, you know, self-pity. Oh, it's no good. I'm no good. Oh, dear me. Oh, the world's falling apart in my life. Oh, nobody loves me. Oh, understand it. I travel down there occasionally myself. It's a dead-end street. Seriously, it is a dead-end street. And the Spirit of God's not in it. The enemy to the spiritual life. Be careful when you become tired, discouraged, when tragedies happen in your life, or you come across a rejection. Now, these are real events that happen to us. We do get tired. You know, some nights we just, like I did last night, just don't sleep well for various reasons. And we wake up tired. Just be careful, because if you're anything like me, tiredness makes you grumpy, makes me grumpy. Don't want to be around me. I don't want to be around me when I'm tired. But the cool thing is the Spirit of God hasn't left in those times. We can still get away and say, Spirit of God, I need help. I need help. It's miserable at the moment. Please help. Do you know I've found the answer to that prayer? If it's genuine, if you're not just bleating and feeling, if you're genuine, Lord, I need help. Do you know I find that it does? Within a couple of minutes, I'm feeling better. Isn't that funny? I pour out my whinge and complaint to him because it's probably better to dump it on him than anyone else. And I find suddenly I might not be, you know, zinging on all 500 cylinders, you know, because I'm tired, but I find that the negative things have gone. Anyway, that's quickly that. He will not leave us. So just be careful when tired and discouraged and tragedy. Just be careful, because that's when the enemy will use those things, those negative things we feel, and sin begins to rise up. It begins to look enticing to us. Just be careful. Again, these are real things that happen to us. Nothing wrong with them in themselves. But if we don't handle them properly in the power of the Spirit, they'll get us. All right. That'll do. What have I got to ask for? Obey the things he tells you and shows you. Don't be afraid of failure. One more thing. Yeah, one more thing. If the Lord shows you something to do, do it. Don't worry about whether you can or can't do it, whether it's going to be successful or not. Not our business. I mean, that's scary. I know that's scary. It's a risk. I know it's, but sometimes we'll try it and you know, made a botch of that. He is not threatened again by our failures. He's bigger than our failure. He's the God of the universe. He's not worried about our failures. Better that we try it and stuff it up than not do it at all. He will bless it. He will bless it. Well, that's a disaster. Yeah, well, at least you give it a go. Yes, he's not the hard taskmaster we think he is. But obedience leads to further revelation. Revelation in the kingdom of God does not come by primarily. It does come by Bible study, but the biggest way we get revelation is God shows us a thing, we do it, and then he gives understanding. Mm-hmm. You see, we in the Western world, we think, I will study a thing, and then I will have understanding, and then I might do it. Doesn't work like that in the kingdom. Sorry, it's the other way around. Other way around. That's why we have people in the West who are doctors of this and theologians of this and have all this great stuff, and do they walk in the power of the Spirit of God? No. It's not how much stuff is stuffed in here. It's how much revelation. You can't get the knowledge of the living God in here. He has to reveal himself to us. It's impossible for the finite to understand the infinite. I'm starting to rave now, aren't I? We have to have him. It works the other way. So if he tells you to show you something, do it. Obey it. Put it into action. And if you muck it up, not the end of the world. All right, that's done. Finished. Yes, clapping that I'm finished. Thank you very much. On a good note, he's our greatest friend. Quick story. Girl, this is over in Canada, northern Canada. This girl's driving this beat-up little wee Toyota, and she wants to go over the Yukon Mountains. This is in northern Canada. Snow, ice, the whole bit. She wants to drive up over these hills up to the other side because she's going to see, I don't know what it was. So she stops at this truck place. It's overnight where all the trucks turn up, the four-wheel drive, and she stays the night, gets up in the morning, goes to go outside, fog, can't see a thing. Goes back inside, oh, might as well have some breakfast. There's two blokes there. And they call her over, you know, thinking, oh, poor girl, boys. Come and join us for breakfast. So she said, where are you going? Oh, I'm going over to such and such. They'd seen the car outside. And they, you know, they're going, you are kidding me. You're going over in that? You'll never make it. She said, well, I'm going. I'm sorry. I'm not backing down. I'm going. You know, feisty girl, feisty woman. She said, so the guy said, well, we'll just have to hug you. And they go, and of course she goes, there's no way you're touching me. I don't even know you. I've never met you. He said, no, you got it wrong. That's not what we mean. When we go, I'll put my truck in front of you, and my mate will put his truck right behind you, and you stick in between us. You follow my lights and watch his lights behind you, and we'll take you over the mountain. That's how they do it. Big truck in front, big truck behind it, and this little wee beaten up little wee thing. She just had to drive like this, and they forged her way through the snow, through the fog. All she had to watch were those big red lights in front and make sure the big white were behind it. And as long as she did that, they got her safe through the mountain. That is a picture of the Holy Spirit. He wants to hug us through everything, through our tough times, through our good times. He wants to show us the kingdom, There is an infinite kingdom he wants to show us. He wants to hug us in doing it. He wants to hug us because he loves us. He wants to wrap us in his everlasting arms. I don't know what that actually looks like, but anyway, that's what he wants to do. Who's on? Who's on? Who's on for this? I'm on for this. Seriously. Seriously. The Lord works through many but rests in few. I want to be one who rests in. Really want to be one who rests in. Let's stand and pray for a minute.